We had something amazing happen for us as a church this month. And it's something that I do not feel like on any level that we should just mention it and then allow it to disappear in the annals of our history and never point back to it again. That is an unbiblical approach to how to praise God for the things that He does. And so, biblically, you make a big deal out of things when God moves heaven and earth to provide for you. And so, in preparing for our Thanksgiving dinner, when we knew that we were going to be debt-free, we felt like we should, if you will, preempt the normal praise time and actually give that time to thanking God for paying off the debt. And we did that. And it was good. And something happened at that event that I'm going to talk about today in the message. But something else happened. There were two things, two significant things. One was a praise that I'm going to share here in a moment. And the other was an event. When we brought the deacons up on stage to celebrate the fact, because God used, and He does, God used the deacons to lead this church to be debt-free. So I wanted them to very much be a part of this. Brother Dale lit the note. Had a gigantic pot up here to be safe, fire extinguisher, firefighter on stage. Burnt it. I dropped it. It went to the bottom. We ignored it. Understandably so. It's doing its thing. We were all clapping, excited, because something else was fixing to happen. We were going to go eat cake. Yeah. Yeah. So after we did that, we prayed. Everybody left, went to eat cake. I've been around Craig to know you don't leave a pot on the stage. You got to clean up after yourself. So I look into the pot because I'm curious. And there is a triangle of paper that has not burnt. And on that triangle are the numbers and the zeros after the numbers have been paid, if you will. I don't believe that was an accident. So we have been talking amongst ourselves, what can we do? What can we have? So that people can point to and say, look there, look what God did. And so that the young people go, what's this all about? Well, hey, that's when God supernaturally paid off our $270,000 debt in 3 years. Folks, that doesn't happen everywhere type thing. And now, please hear me, God can do that anywhere. But His people have to ask Him. And we did, and we asked Him. And through your tithes and offerings and above those tithes, through His provision of you, He paid off the debt. And so we're going to make a shadow box out of that little paper and put it somewhere prominent, probably not in the auditorium, but somewhere prominent so that people can say, yep, that's when God provided for Bethel Baptist Church. Hallelujah, praise the Lamb. Something else took place I've already shared with you. A testimony. Because I can't speak for you, but I have already, and Dawn and I have already talked, because you may remember that we challenged you 3 years ago to prayerfully consider giving a commitment for the, if you will, the entirety of the debt until we paid it off, that you were going to give above, and you were going to list it on your envelope. Have an envelope here. It says tithe, and then it says debt reduction. And we're asking you to put there each week or month, whatever, that you're going to give above and beyond your tithes, because we didn't feel like that we should allocate a certain amount of our tithe to the debt reduction. The tithe needs to go to the daily operations of the church. So we felt led to lead you to prayerfully consider giving more. You did that. And the church responded amazingly. Well, it's paid off. What do you do with that? You may already have this answered in your heart and life. Hallelujah. Praise the Lamb. But it's something that I, Dawn and I, were still praying through and the such. Brother Gary just volunteered. Gary White. He's not here today. I can only assume he's with his family in Iowa for Thanksgiving. But Brother Gary said, Brother Ben, I believe in what this church is doing. I believe in the ministries that she's doing. I believe in the gospel in this church, if you will. And I'm going to keep giving that extra, but it's going to go to the general fund for the church to use in whatever way it sees fit for the glory of God. It was wonderful. Now watch me. I'm not telling you that testimony to leverage you. I'm not. I'm telling you that that blessed my heart. Because every one of you have that same decision to make. And as long as it's a Holy Spirit-led decision, it's not a wrong decision. Amen, church? Yeah. So if you choose, that's going to go to your movie fund now, that's between you and God. And it's okay if God leads you that way. But if he leads you to continue to support through that, that's okay too. It was a blessing to me to hear that Gary had thought that through, prayed it through, and made that decision. Watch this. Church, every one of us are on a path. Do this for me. Say the word path. Path. Every one of us are on a path. And I'm asking you this morning to look very good through this message. Look squarely at your feet and try to determine, and I'm talking figuratively, look at your spiritual feet and ask yourself, am I on the path? The path is the path that God wants you on. We're going to talk about that. This has been left up here because we're going to show a short video of a man that got back on the path this morning. It's going to bless you. It's going to touch you. If you were at first service, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It's going to bless you. Something God had no clue, this guy was going to come today and share with us what God had done with him and to him to get him back on the path. Deuteronomy chapter 6, 1 through 9. Will you stand with me? Deuteronomy chapter 6, 1 through 9. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it, that thou mayest fear the Lord my God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily. Now, if some man was telling you, and you knew that he was sent to you as an oracle of God, and he just read these words to you, would you not listen to him? I'm fixing to tell you, Moses is saying, how you can always live in God's blessing, and God will give you long life and blessings if you'll do what I'm fixing to say. Look at verse 3 again. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. Father, we ask you to add your blessings to the reading and preaching of your holy word. In Jesus' name we ask it all. Amen. You may be seated. Simple title of the message today is God, Country, Family, and the Grave. God, Country, Family, and the Grave. Deuteronomy is the passage where Moses is telling the children of Israel that your God has commanded you to do these things. He has commanded you to love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's everything. He's commanded you to do that. But that's not all. He's commanded you to teach your children to do that. And he's commanded you to teach your children to teach their children to do that. Church, in my humble opinion, this is where America has gone wrong. We have not taught our children and our children's children how to live under self-government. We've not taught our children and our children's children how to govern themselves. And that's why we're in the condition we're in. Mark chapter 12, 29 and 30, Jesus restates this commandment when he answers the question, what is the greatest commandment? Jesus answered and says, the first is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. He restates it. Church, if the Bible says it once, it's important. If it restates it, especially from the Old Testament to the New Testament, God wants you to live by it to some level. Look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but nurture them in the chastening and admonition of the Lord. That word chastening is actually the word nurture. That's a positive. Nurture. And then the admonition is a negative. Church, parents, mentors, you need to positively affirm one another, and you need to negatively affirm one another. We need to know that there is a negative consequence for not listening to the positive affirmation. Matthew 28, 18 and following. And Jesus came to them and spake unto them, saying, all authority hath been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Jesus has told us what the path is. The path is the gospel. The path is the Great Commission. The path is making sure that everyone within your circle of influence knows that you're going to heaven and knows how that they can go to heaven. That's the path. And those little ones behind you, they don't have an option of listening. Sure, your co-workers, they have an option. I teach in soul winning. Ask permission. Ask permission. With your kids, you're going to love them enough to just say, this is what you need to know. And I'm begging you to hear it. Ask me questions. And we do that at very little ages. And as they get older, they start asking questions. And if we're wise parents, we sit down and we celebrate that they're asking those questions. And we answer them patiently, faithfully. And we just wait for the Holy Spirit to do His work. And He will do His work. The path is you and I loving Jesus with everything we have, sharing that faith with those that we love and know, and passing it on. That is the path. Now, here's a warning. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth unto his own flesh shall the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth unto the Spirit shall the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. We've tried to love you enough to tell you that in my humble opinion, as a church, in our humble opinion, taking your kids to church is not enough. It's important. It's biblically commanded. But you living this path on a daily basis is what will solidify it in your children. Amen, church? That's getting under the spout where the glory comes out. Now, you did not hear me give you a promise that your kids will naturally do what you're doing, because there is no such promise. Yes, you have the Proverbs verse that says, train up a child in the way they shall go, and when they're old, they'll not depart from it. That's the closest thing we get to a promise. This is what I'm trying to tell you. If you walk the path that God has called for you to, and you pour into your children your walk with the Lord, you've done your part. And God will bless you, and your child will have the best opportunity to make their decision for the Lord. They will. And that's all we can ask. Church, we should live with the grave in mind. Now, I hope you don't have the experience that I had. And I've shared this before. We have new folks here. I'll share it very shortly. My father was an emotionally disconnected man. I did not know that my dad loved me. It was not communicated. I struggled as a young man with that. Most of those struggles are my fault, not my dad's. But I didn't understand that as a young man. And so it wasn't until I came across a box that had in that box a purse, for lack of a better designation, that had a letter from an 11-year-old boy to a mother in a hospital. And this 11-year-old boy was writing in this letter to his mother, Mom, why can't I come see you? How come I'm hearing people say that you're not coming home? How come I hear that, you know, he just was confused. And this 11-year-old boy was crying out through pen and paper to his mother, "I don't understand." And as I'm reading that, knowing what happened to his mother when he was 11 years old, she died in that hospital. He never saw her again when she left the home to go to the hospital. He wasn't allowed. And he wasn't given answers. And all he was left to do was just make up in his mind what happened. For whatever reason, family could not, would not, did not give answers. Church, that'll mark a person. That'll mark a person. That'll mark you and me. What's worse, at 17, his dad signed for him to go in the Navy. I'm not saying that's bad. I'm saying that just a few months later, his dad died while he was in the Navy. And so he took the long train ride back home to Searcy, McRae, Arkansas, and buried his father at 17 years of age. He don't got a mom and a dad. All my growing up days, my dad would say these words, "I'll never grow up to see you graduate. I won't see you grow up and graduate. I won't see you married. I won't see your kids," and yada, yada, yada. He thought he was helping me. He was scaring me to death. Because even though we had the relationship we had, I loved him. And I wanted to have a close relationship with him. Now, Doug, if y'all know Doug Henson, Doug always, he's just trying to help. That's all Doug's trying to do. And he came to me trying to help me understand that maybe what my dad was trying to say was not that he wouldn't be there. He was just telling me, "I don't think you're ever going to graduate, son." Yeah. Doug has the gift of encouragement. You know what I mean? So, nonetheless, hey, I loved it. That was good. When I read that letter, that helped me a lot understand my dad. And me and Dad, we got to a point that we could talk openly about things. We got to where we could openly tell each other that we loved. We got to where we could hug each other. It got good. But it only got good when I gave up holding my dad at arm's length because of the supposed offenses he had done toward me. And church, hear me. What my dad did do was give me a healthy dose of reality that the grave is coming for every one of us. Every one of us. We need to live with that in mind. And we need to make sure that we're evaluating on a very regular basis. We need to make the changes necessary to put yourself and your family on a godly track and the path that will allow us to carry out these verses. Sermon in a sentence: live your life with heaven in mind and in view. Live your life with heaven in mind and in view. So here's an evaluation, a way to evaluate where we're at. First of all, God. I mean, you got to start with God, right? And church, on any given Sunday, I don't know who's going to show up. I did not craft this message, if you will, and let's hope the Holy Spirit did. But this message was not crafted with any individual in mind. It was crafted with every individual in mind. If you have never, ever accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you got to start there. You've got to evaluate your life starting with God. Has there ever been a place and time in your life where you have said something to the nature of Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved? Have you done business with God? Have you said, "Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I deserve eternal punishment. I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sins, so I ask him now to forgive me of my sins, come into my heart, and be my Savior." We call that the sinner's prayer, but watch this, church. That's the introduction. The Holy Spirit, through this pastor right now, through Brother Todd in these welcomes, through Brother Brad as the youth pastor, through the Sunday school teachers, through the deacons, through the Awana classes, the Holy Spirit is calling you to the cross. He's asking you to deal with your sin debt, because nobody will be allowed in heaven with sin. And the only way to get into heaven is to have the blood of Jesus Christ upon your soul. And the only way to do that is to confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead. But what about this? Do you know him as your boss? Oh, yeah, Brother Ben, I'm saved. Are you living like it? Is he your boss? One of my favorite stories along those lines, I had a little girl in the office. We were talking about salvation. She wanted to get saved. And the Holy Spirit was very faithful and said, you need to ask a little deeper. And I said, honey, I want to just ask you, you want to get saved, but do you want a boss? She looked at me. Because when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, that's what you're doing. You're making, because that's who, I love this statement. God is Lord of your life, whether you're ever going to admit it or not. He's the Lord of our lives. What he wants in our lives, to some degree, is going to happen. Oh, you can fight him and you can rebel, but sooner or later, he's going to do what he wants to do. And he wants the best for you. And so the best is to say, sir, yes, sir, and do what he asks you to do to bring glory to his name. But I asked this little girl, I said, let me make it very clear for you. Are you willing for him to decide who's going to be your boyfriend? She looked at me like I had slapped her in the face with a dead rabbit. What? Yes, honey, that's what I'm trying to tell you. God loves you so much that he wants to make that decision and all decisions. He's going to tell you where to go to college. What? He's going to tell you where to go to work. Yes. And church, this is what I'm asking you. Oh, I've been saved. Are you following him? Is he your boss? Is he the absolute boss of your life? He has a rightful demand upon you. The Bible says that you have been bought with a price. And that price is his precious blood. He is your only source of significance and security. Are you under what's over you? Adrian Rogers, Kingdom Authority, said this line, you'll never be over what's under you until you're under what's over you. Have you ever met the person? If you've met me, you've met this person that if they're not careful, their schedule controls them, the things in their life controls them. That's a person that's not over what's under them. And one of the key issues is not, if you will, a seminar on how to get your life together. The key issue is making sure that you're under who's over you. You see, God is over every one of us. And when we say, Lord, you're right, I'm wrong, then he organizes everything underneath. You'll never be over what's under you until you get under what's over you. Number two, country. Yes, we believe in patriotism here. But let me very carefully ask you and clearly these questions. Are you contributing to God's effort of reaching this country for Christ? Are you praying frequently, intentionally, routinely for revival in America? Are you raising godly children? Are you influencing your circle for God? Church, listen to me. We need to engage our culture. And I get it and I understand it, that when you do that, there's a price to pay. But folks, there's a price to pay if we don't. Hear me, please. It's a thing. I can take you to the Blaze or to Drudge or to Fox, and I can show you that they're doing studies that for the last 3 years, politics has shortened Thanksgiving dinners. It has shortened Christmas dinners. Why? Because some idiot in the room brings up politics. I didn't come here to talk politics. Came here to eat turkey and dressing. I get it. I really do. But listen, church, we all need to inform ourselves so that we can accurately and professionally educate biblically our opinion on how things ought to run in this United States. Watch this. I would rather debate with my brother in my living room than fight him on a hill with a gun. And I believe those are our two options left. We either love our culture enough to engage them right now with this, or it's going to get really bad. I believe that. I'm not threatening anything. I don't want that on any level. But church, all you got to do is listen to what's going on. The drums have already started. And so we need to really up our game on trying to bring folks to our understanding politely, gently, and all that. But oh, we need to do it. I believe that with all my heart. Number three, Number three, family. It is not wrong to pass your values onto your children or teach and expect them to do the same. It is, in fact, commanded. Do not just pass on your values, I love this, but pass on your coping skills. Because my children not only need to know what I believe about movies and music and dress, and they need to know all that, but they also need to know how Daddy gets through on a daily basis and keeps his life pure for God, if that happens. They need to know some of the things that I do when things get tough. In church, hopefully every one of us has some biblical coping mechanisms. You remember what David did when all of his bunch, some 400 men, wanted to stone him because all their families had been taken away? He encouraged himself in the Lord. That's a coping mechanism. In church, your children need to know, your grandchildren need to know how you do that. And then lastly, the grave. If you were to die today, would you go to heaven? Would you be able to say, I have contributed to God's mission of winning a lost world to himself? Could you say this? My family is ready to face life's challenges because I have trained them that God is their only source of significance and security. Brother Brad, if you'll get that video ready, and just whenever you've got it ready, go ahead and start playing it. Brother Don Cresilius came forward in the first service, and I want you to hear what he said, and then we're going to call the musicians to come after this, and we're going to have our invitation.
That's all we see.
It's not the best audio. Please listen.
I've said some things, and I've got some things that I'm not happy with, and I need to talk to you a second about that. This week, Wednesday evening, I guess it was, my body gave out on me, and I crashed on my back patio, and I'm laying there wondering whether I'm going to get up or not. And the Lord said, you know, I can knock you down anytime I want to. Now what you have to do is you have to get up and make it right. So that's what I want to try to do today, is try to make some of that right. I'm asking the church to forgive me. I'm trying to apologize to the church for what I've done wrong here, and I'm asking you to forgive me. I don't know how else to do it, but I love the Lord. I love this church. I love the people here. And I'm just asking you to forgive me. That's not all there is to it.
And all the people said,
amen.
But now we love you. You're one of the, you and your wife are one of the stalwart couples. You brought more people to this church than lots of folks. And all of that's to praise the Lord. We're all human, amen?
Amen.
I'd be ashamed if we didn't forgive you. Amen. Amen. Who we had. Settled, right?
Amen.
Right. Amen. So if someone comes to you and says, I would come to church except that Don Persidic, you tell him, hey, he's one of our best. He said it straight. And listen, church, this is where revival starts. Amen. Boy, Don, I love that. I can knock you down anytime I want. That's the truth, isn't it?
It is.
And for every person in here.
You know, and just as soon as he knocks you down, he'll let it be a lift you up.
Amen. That's good enough, Brother Brad. Thank you so much. I always look better in my mind than I do on actual video, but nonetheless. Church, I'm telling you right now, it wasn't easy what Don did today. It wasn't easy, but he did it. And some of you, if you're like me, I want to know what he did. Shame on you. It doesn't really matter what he did. What matters is that he did the wrong thing, and a man after God's own heart, after they do the wrong thing, they do the right thing. Amen? If you've done the wrong thing, today would be a good day to do the right thing. Gerald Mitchell, who's now in heaven, used to always say, sometimes revival does not start from people coming to the pew. Sometimes revival starts from people crossing the pew and saying, hey, I'm sorry, whatever the case may be. Let's stand, musicians, will you come? Are you on the path? Are you on the path? Are you living the gospel? Are you sharing the gospel? Are you sharing what you know to your kids? Are you pouring it in? We need to desperately. Kids, are you receiving it? Are you responding to it? Are you living it? Let's sing.